I really hadn't thought about what would I like them to be. I feel that I know, like myself, I want them to be like me in a sense. I don't want them to acquire all my traits, you know. But I want them, you know, at a position where they can think on their own, where they'll know right from wrong. You know, you automatically, in a sense, know right from wrong. But I mean, to the extent whereas, you know, you want them to think, you know, if they say, they come to you and say, Dad, I want to be such and such a thing, and do you think this is wise? And you'll say, it may sound cruel, but this is what I would tell them. I said, well, I don't know. I think that maybe you should think about a lot of more things first, and then come back in later years and ask me, you know, what do I think is best? Because I feel that if you set a person mad on being one thing, they'll find themselves trying to please you, and they're not really pleasing themselves, and they're not doing what they lack, and this would make them unhappy for the rest of their lives.
Jimmy, when you were on that bus, you know, when you didn't go to school for that class, Russ, and you said you sort of hear music in your mind and you tap away, what kind of music do you like?
Well, I like all kinds of music. My sense of music just don't stop, you know, with one type. You know, rock and roll is good, you know, and in order to be a teenager, you must like rock and roll in a sense, you know. And then there are some good folk music I like, jazz, whole lot of different things, operas, you know, concerts and things like that. You know, there's a whole lot of different things. It ranges. You may hear some music, like when our club first started, the Tijuana Brass made The Lonely Bull. And right off, you know, I took to it, you know. This isn't, you know, and all the rest of the guys didn't like it, you know. They didn't like it. They thought it was silly, you know. But I took to it right off, you know, because, you know, certain music make you picture certain things, make you be in different moods, you know, put you in a mood. Some music, you know, make you have laughter, make you happy. And other music make you sad, you know. Then other music make you feel like you're Casanova, you know, you want to love, you know, all sorts of things. Music have strange effects on people. You wouldn't think that a sound, you know, like, you know, a bong from a guitar or something could make a person high, leap out and think about a certain girl or a certain boy.
Is there a singer, particular singer you like above others?
My choice, my favorite choice would be Miriam Makeba.
Miriam Makeba?
Uh-huh.
Well, why? What is there about her?
She's unique in my sense of thinking. Here's a lady who's came all the way from Africa. And you know, in Africa, you know, these people are struggling for their rights and freedom and things like that. It's the same way in the United States. Even with white and color alike, you know, they say that color people are struggling more now. But I feel that, you know, here, you know, the whites are struggling too. In their minds, they feel different things. You know, they're wondering, you know, it's really a struggle for you to think, you know, for you to say, well, what should I do, you know? Should I go along with these guys? Are they really up to my standards, you know? And I feel this way about her. Here she is, she done came all the way across the ocean, you know, and she has proven herself good. And she has an album, and there's one record on there. It's Umuwe. Yeah. And I think that's great. It's, you know, when you first hear it, you know, it brings to mind, you know, different things. And, you know, if you didn't know what it meant, like I read the album and I know that it means it's a Zulu lion hunt, you know. And they, you know, they do this before they go and hunt the lion or after they hunt the lion. And if you didn't know it, it could, in a sense, I believe it would bring you back to, you know, something exciting, you know. But, you know, when I listen to it and by knowing it, I can, you know, can imagine this hunt, you know. Here are a crowd of natives out on the field in a band, you know, and they're trying to spy out this line. And she sings it in such a way where you feel different moods, you know. Here's a mood of excitement and fear. You know, you can almost feel that one of the natives might be scared, you know. And here he is, he has fear in his heart, and he's going out here with the rest of these guys. And yet and still he says, you know, supposing it's me that die, you know, or something like that. You know, he might have fear in his heart. And she gets to a climax where it gets real exciting in a sense. And, you know, every record have a peak, you know, in it where you go up so high and then you hit that peak where, you know, this holds everyone, you know, there's a certain part in there that holds everyone's attention. And then it comes back and it relieves you, you know. And this is what she do. She brings, go up to this little peak and you find yourself spellbound. You're just waiting for more. You want more. And then it comes down, and in the end, she starts talking in a sense, you know, in a phrase. This is to tell you that the hunt is all over, you know. And you feel, you can imagine yourself being on this hunt. Here I was, you know, out here, and here's the line before me, you know. And it's all over, and I survived it, and maybe the natives are all talking to each other, jumping up and down, laughing, all sorts of things.
Even though you don't understand the language, it's Zulu or Swahili, you understand what she's saying.
Yeah, you don't have to understand. You know, like me, I can sit up and listen to the album all day long. And she'll keep on singing, and I'll never know a word she's saying. I'll never understand a word she's saying. But it isn't what you say. It's how you say it. You know, if you say it in such a way, you can capture your heart. And she proves this. She really proves it.
Jimmy, you live in, you're 17 now. You weren't born in Chicago.
No, I was born in Birmingham, Alabama.
Do you have memories of Birmingham?
Vague memories. I left when I was 7. But, you know, I find myself sometimes feeling sad, especially there was one time when there was so much racial tension in right there in the city I was born in. You know, you always, you know, want to feel that your hometown is the greatest, you know, that you can go back. And then it seems like something like that comes up and destroys it, a racial discrimination among the people that live there. People that you, while you were there, you felt that was so nice. And even while you're away, you feel that these people are really nice. They're real nice people. But, you know, it's all being destroyed, you know. You feel this. Like my grandmother, she don't teach different in color or anything. She always told me, you know, there's no different, you know. The only thing, only different between you and a white guy is that he's lighter than you. His complexion is lighter. But as far as him on the inside, if you cut him, he's going to bleed red, and if you get cut, you're going to bleed red too. It doesn't matter, she says. And I believe this, because there are bad apples in every barrel, you know. And like there's bad colored guys that do a lot of bad things. There are bad white guys that do just as many bad things.
Jimmy, did you worry sometimes about our country? Things worry you about it, or hopeful about it?
Yeah, a lot of different things. A lot of different things. Like. When President Kennedy was shot, you know, I was really hurt, you know. There wasn't anything I could do, and I wouldn't go out and kill the guy, you know, like what happened, because I'm not, you know, my mind is not really sure that he did it. I could never say I didn't see it. Then no one actually see him do it. So my mind is not really, you know, to the point where I can say, you know, I hate this guy so much where I could just kill him for what he did. What, you know, and here again, you start dreaming again. You say, like I said, You know, I can't, you know, speak for everyone. I'm sure that everyone in the country would have did try to do the same thing. But I find myself saying that I wish that I was right there, you know, when the guy did the shooting, whereas I could walk up to him and grab him and take the gun away from him and hold him there until the police come. Because, you know, I feel that, you know, he was sick, you know, and I don't feel that if a guy is sick, I don't think, you know, you should kill him, you know. You should, because I don't approve of capital punishment. I think this is all wrong. I think that God didn't put no one here to set themselves up to say, well, if you kill somebody, you deserve to be killed, you know. And the guy that pulls the switch, you know, these guys that say, you know, on the jury that, and the judge, you know, that say, that you should die, you know, who are they? You know, they're people too. They may have a little more education or a little less education, but you know they can't say you should die. You know, you're human too. You know, you can't. This is like saying I'm God, and I say you must die. You know, you're not God, and the best thing you could do is say, well, I think that you should be kept from society for a while, you know, until you learn that what you're trying to do is all wrong. You know, like they can't kill you. I figure if you try to kill somebody, that you can't set yourself up in a position where you feel that you can hate this person so much whereas you can kill them. You know, this is wrong. You can't set yourselves up to say, well, I hate you so much where I think you should die. Who are you to say that he should die? You're only a person yourself. And I felt that this guy, Ruby, that killed Oswell, I feel that, you know, he was all wrong. I feel that it's all wrong for him to die too. And yet and still, I think that all of them made a mistake. You know, the only person that didn't make a mistake was President Kennedy. He didn't have a chance to.
You know, Jimmy, we hear you talk about judging people, you know, playing God. We hear a lot of talk about headlines, ADC, relief, people on relief. You know, we hear there's so much headlines, don't really want to work, you know, and getting away with things. What's your feeling about that?
Well, I feel that, you know, I know that some people can work and don't want to. But, you know, you think about the people that can't work and really wants to work, you know, and there's no jobs open to them. And they really want a job, you know. And here these people, you know, they down them, you know. Just, you know, it's just like a guy, you know, that loses a race, you know. He's down because he done lost a race. But, you know, they never say, you know, they never tells him, you know, there's another race, you know. But it's the same way with the relief. I feel that some people shouldn't be judged, you know, as no good just because they're down in their luck. And just think, if a guy has a family of about 10 kids, you know, and here you are, you're going to say, well, he's no good because, you know, he's on the welfare. Well, I say, if you feel this way, give him a job, you know, see if he's no good. No, and if he proves to be no good, then I say your judgment of him is pretty much right. But if you can't prove it and you don't know, you know, why should you say, well, he's no good? I know, for instance, that a lot of people are, you know, just standing around, you know, and don't want to work, you know, can and don't want to. But there are so many other people that really wants to, and they have to, you know, have to look in the paper and see that these people are downing them and saying, you know, here they are, the scum of the earth. You know, this is, in a sense, is what they're saying. You know, they're actually saying that, you know, these guys are the scum of the earth because they don't have a job and they have to depend on someone. I know I dislike the idea of having to depend on someone, you know. But, you know, if you can't make it on your own, I feel that what are you put here for, you know, if you can't help the next guy? If you can't help him, who do you help?
Jimmy, you were saying your grandmother feels better when she's working than when she's on welfare.
Yeah. It's because, you know, like, you know, you don't want money from nobody. Because I guess you get the feeling, you know, this, like, people are always doing something for you. They say, Chief Wiz, they ain't no good. They lazy. And then they, you know, you get treated, you know, in a different way. And you can't do as much as you want to do if you was working. If you was working, you could help a free man. With her, she would almost enjoy having to come home and say, I work tired all day, Chief Wiz, I'm going to quit that job. And knowing all the same time, she'd never leave. But yet, instead, she say, Chief Wiz, heck, they work me hard today. I'm tired from it. And she blow off steam, you know. And then she'd go and think to herself, well, this is what I'm going to do with my money when I get paid, you know.